Melville and Pym drew up alongside the steamo, leapt from their manure cart, only to be halted by the bobbies.
"Special branch, gentlemen,"
panted Pym, showing his card and suffering for his lead-weight arms from pulling those reins.
"Did you witness the party of coves who alighted that mechanised vehicle?"
"Them's as with your outfit, boss," said one of the uniforms. "Happy to help them, sir, especially as they were operating incognito."
The man pushed her back against the closed doors and forced his fingers into her eye sockets. The pressure in her eyes was relieved with the sound of grapes popping. That was the last thing she would ever hear, and the last thing she would ever see. He closed his fist with amazing strength, and the front of her skull cracked. His fingers met his thumb inside her head, and he pulled back, like he was scooping pulp from a pumpkin. Phoebe skidded the steamo to a mud-splattering stop around the back in Burley Street, right by the stage door. The Lyceum's administration offices were set a floor above the dressing rooms. Michael tapped on the open door and leant on the jamb.
"Excuse me, sir. We're looking for a talented novelist. Can you point us in the direction of Mr. Herbert George Wells?"
The figure sitting at a desk and slicing open yet another envelope in the pile of invitations and begging letters did not even bother looking around.
"Ah, no. The dead have risen. The scoundrel himself walks among us."
The voice retained the burr of a Dubliner. "Come to me now."
"I'm so sorry, mother." She broke free from my hold. "Let go of me. I'm here to help." "It's too late for that. Much too late."
"It's never too late. And there's a need now. I don't want you anywhere near me.
We can't have a rift all our lives."
"That's exactly what it will be. All my life, because there isn't much of it left."
"Don't be silly. You're as tough as nails. We can change, mother."
"Don't say we. You've always been the one needing to change.